Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Sterling Bennett and Dan DeVone, final hour in Warriors This Week. The Golden State Warriors loses to the Indiana Pacers by 11 last night. Three games now over 500. They are a game and a half behind that of the Los Angeles Lakers for the number 9 seed. Four games behind the Sacramento Kings, I believe, for the 8th seed. I want to say a look at it right now. Hold on here. Yeah, you are.
I think it's 8 seed. Yeah.
You're four games behind the Kings for the 8 seed, 4.5 behind the Suns for the 7 seed, and also 4.5 behind the Mavericks for the 6 seed. So 4.5.
Which seems insurmountable, right?
With 13 left.
Yeah. 4 is darn near impossible. Like, the NBA arguably is the toughest of the big three sports to come from behind in.
Yes.
And so for Golden State, while they have some space between them and Houston, that's 6 seeds out of the question, and I can argue the 8 seeds out of the question. Like, can you catch up 2 games, 3 games, 4 games? No.
Game and a half behind the Los Angeles Lakers, and while
that's feasible.
Continue to look ahead. They also have to look over their shoulder at the on-charging Houston Rockets, who are now just 2 games behind the Golden State Warriors. And as you talked about, the Warriors are idle today. However, the Rockets have the Utah Jazz, so that lead could be down to a game and a half as the Warriors then have to go on the road. And then they got to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, then travel to the state of Florida. They meet the Heat and the Magic in back-to-back games, a date with the Hornets, then out to Texas with a game against the San Antonio Spurs before they return home against the Dallas Mavericks before going back on the road. So I think that year, this entire season as far as a play-in, a lot will be determined. We'll know a lot more about this team when we do this show this time next week as they go on a very, very challenging road trip. All right, we teased time traveler going into the break. Time was able to hang out during the commercial. So let's get to time traveler who wants to talk about the Warriors, and he has the explanation as to why they're in the position they're currently in. Time traveler, what do you say? Welcome to Warriors This Week.
Good morning, gentlemen, and I appreciate you letting me hang on. I really do. Listen to you every week, you know, when I can. And but let's get to the point. Look, you have to go to the top. You got to go to the top. The coach, Steve Kerr, is the main reason that the Warriors are in the position they're in now because of the decisions he made. He messed away, and I don't want to use another word because I'm an older gentleman in my mid-70s. He messed away at least 12 games this year that I really just zeroed in on. Let's just say if they had six of those games, if they he allowed them to win six of those games, look where they would be now. But let's go back and let's go do some specifics. Let's go to the Denver game. Denver can't beat too many teams unless if Jamal Murray is not on the floor. Kuminga was kicking him all over the floor because they didn't have nobody else to guard him. Had him with four fouls. And Steve Kerr looked over at Mike Malone and said, y'all can't stop Kuminga, but I'll stop him. I'm going to keep him on the bench for the last 18 minutes. What happened? They lost. Let's go to Sacramento. Fourth quarter. Moody hit 11 points in a row. Curry was on the floor, and he didn't have it even scored. He looks over at Mike Brown and said, y'all can't stop him, but I'll stop him. He took him out of the game. He said he didn't know what was going on. He go to New York. Let's go to New York. Moody shut this guy down. Brunson, everybody saw it. You saw it. I saw it. Shut him down. The Warriors won easily. You get back home, here come New York in town. And I had a bad feeling about 5:30 before that game. I said, well, he surely is not going to not start Moody on this game. Let him shut this guy down again. And guess what happened? No Moody in the lineup. And next thing you know, it was reversed. The way they started off in New York, that's the way New York started off here. And you say, well, what is the explanation for that? Why is he doing this stuff? You know, you keep looking at the – I can go back to several other games where he messed it away because he didn't know what to do. And then one of his most egregious areas, and I give him the benefit of the doubt. I said, I want to see. He said, Pergensen has got to play. He connects us. He's got to play. I said, okay, let's see what he got. But when you look at that, in the history of the NBA, there's never been a small backcourt that won anything. And much less you put a 36-year-old guy – and a rookie who was not a lottery player in the lineup and said, you're going to stop somebody. You can't do that. Look at what happened to Portland. Portland lost, wasted away all those years with Lillard because they had another small backcourt, and they wouldn't trade for a bigger backcourt guy.
C.J. McCollum.
And they never won anything. That's right. They never won anything. And now Lillard is left, and you got nothing. And that's what's going to have to happen with Curry. But what I'm saying is, Pergensky would be much better playing against second-team players than first-team players because he can't guard one of those big guards. You've got to take one of your front-court guys like a Wiggins or Kuminga and put on his man. That screws up the defense. Then everybody's in a scramble mode, and that's why these guys keep walking down the lane and getting easy layups on the Warriors. Put a bigger guy in there. He may not be able – the only way Pergensky can score or can stay in that lineup, he's got to give you between 20, 25, or 30 points a game to compensate for his problems on defense. He can guard off the ball, by running and getting charges, but he can't guard on the ball because he ain't strong enough and his feet are too slow. He needs to go in the offseason, he needs to go and get with some young girls who know how to do that double dutch so they can make his feet quicker. And he needs to get in the weight room and get stronger. So when he get up on a guy, he can't push him off and get around him because he can't block his shot. He has to be able to stay in front of a guy. He need to take Pergensky out of the starting lineup and put him back on the bench where he'd be more successful and more helpful to the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Now you got Clay, Pergensky, and the old guy, CP3, coming off the bench. That's a better situation for the Warriors than if they would have. But Steve Kerr said, no, he connects us. He's got to stay in the lineup. Well, what did he connect you to? 10th, you headed for 11th place? I'm being honest with you. I don't believe they can get to this. I don't believe they can hang on to this 10th spot.
Well, hold on.
I just don't.
Who would you want to start in place of Pajemski? Because I think your answer may get us to what the Warriors' biggest issue is.
He said Clay.
Clay? Okay.
No, not Clay. Clay has to stay back on the bench because you took Clay out of the lineup for the very – look, when the Warriors was winning, what did they have? They had Curry and Clay, but why did that work? Clay was a knockdown shooter, but he was an all-world defender.
Yep.
That's why that worked. That's why they got rid of – what's his name? They traded to Milwaukee for the guy. What's the guy?
Monte?
Yes. That's why they traded away him because he was too small. You couldn't have a too small backcourt.
Okay. So who starts in place of Pajemski then?
You have to take the only person on this team would work since he shut that guy down in New
Moses
York.
Moses Moody.
Moses Moody. You say he got a little potential there. What if he'd have started him against the Knicks here at home? Say he shut him down again. You're building confidence in him. You're building confidence in the team. He said, well, maybe he can shut down Devin Booker or the guy with Denver. Give him a shot at that. But that's the only chance you got with this team. We can talk about the offseason and what might happen next year. Again, this is why I wouldn't have given Steve Kerr a new contract until the end of the season, because he said if they in the lottery, big changes going to have to come. Well, to me, when he said big changes going to come, right, that means the coach too, because you don't want the coach coaching more younger players. You know, it's going to be hard to go out and find. People keep saying, well, go out and bring in a 30-point guy. You can't bring in a 30-point guy. How are you going to bring in a 30? They cost a lot of money. You know, you're going to have to get younger. That's the only way, unless you're going to bring these guys back, and I don't see how you can bring these guys back, all these guys finishing in 11th place. This is why I would have never gave the coach an extension until the season was over and see where it be, and because he just made too many egregious mistakes that a high school coach would make. The man been around basketball too long to make these kind of mistakes. And then he said, well, I thought this was going to work. Well, you thought, well, how come nobody else thought these things were going to work?
Well, that right there. So you want to start Moses Moody, and you think that may be a solution to Pajemski going to the bench, which I don't disagree in the fact that Pajemski should be a bench player. I think he would help strengthen the depth of this team. He would give that bench, which has an older Chris Paul, an older Klay Thompson that just isn't the defender he once was, it'll give them a good defender next to them. But is Moses Moody the solution to this team's woes? You're not starting Wiggins. You're just not. Okay, so you're going to start Trayce Jackson-Davis. Okay, we can certainly have the conversation. But you put Moses Moody in, who I think me and you both like, Dan. But Moses Moody, when he's not starting, when someone else gets hurt or goes away like Wiggins, he's not playing. So we're asking Steve Kerr, and whether it's right or wrong, we're asking Steve Kerr to start a player. He doesn't even feel comfortable playing most nights. Why would he do that? Why?
He wouldn't. Although I do think Time Traveler makes a good point that Moses Moody, don't forget, got the start against the New York Knicks because Andrew Wiggins was out because of personal reasons.
Correct.
So I think if there's a vulnerable area, once again, it gets back to Andrew Wiggins as a starter on this basketball team. I don't, maybe as much as some of the others, Time Traveler and yourself apparently, I don't have an issue with Pajemski being a starter. Now, I think Pajemski, he's hit, whether it's the rookie wall,
right,
he's not as impactful as he was a couple of weeks back or early on in the season, so he's going through a little something right now. His shot's not necessarily there, but I still believe in this guy. I still think he makes you a better basketball team, and I also think Clay has proven to everybody that if he's going to have any longevity in the NBA going forward, it's going to be in his new role as coming off the bench.
Correct.
He's been very effective
yes.
at that, and I don't necessarily see Pajemski being taken advantage of defensively. In fact, I think he can hold his own from a defensive standpoint. And the fact that this guy rebounds the basketball on both ends as effectively as he does, I don't have this statistically to support this, but how many two guards rebound the ball as frequently as he does? He obviously leads the league in charges. I think his defense does not concern me nearly as much as maybe others. I think the big concern with Pajemski is just sort of he's hit a bit of a rut here. But I still believe in the fact that he has a high-level IQ. As long as the Warriors and Steve Kerr are still running things, he's the perfect guy to execute that offense. And this phrase has been used way too much, but he does connect guys. And he knows how to balance the floor. And he knows how to distribute the basketball. And that all means something. I don't have an issue with Pajemski starting because it's proven that it's worked, especially with Klay Thompson going to the bench and being as effective as he's been. Andrew Wiggins starting, however, I mean, what is it that we do with this guy going forward?
Right.
Like, where do we continue to roll him out?
Well, you can't DMP him.
No. I still think he's part of your rotation. But again, the idea of Trayce Jackson-Davis jumping him should be something that I think gives some level of serious consideration. Let's get back out to the phone lines, man. I almost missed her. How could I have done that? Robin, it's been a while. 888-957-9570. Let's say hello to Robin in San Francisco. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Sugar. How you doing?
I'm well.
So, can I ask you a quick question? Because I didn't call for this, but was that guy from these parts was just on?
Time Traveler?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Where was Time Traveler
from? Didn't say.
We don't know.
He's lost in space and time.
Well, You know, I have a hard time believing where he's from here, because everyone knows, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, because I admit when I'm wrong, because to stick to something that is not right is pure ignorance. They got rid of Monte because he refused to play with Curry. He wouldn't even pass him the ball half the time, okay? So I don't know what dude talking about, okay? They chose Curry over him. So first of all, don't speak on something you don't know about. Now, what he said was the front court was too small, and he's right. But that's not why they got rid of him, okay? And y'all laughing, so y'all must not agree with that. So this one, really, though. And then I also think that it's lazy thinking to always blame the coach. I really do, because you don't really know what's going on 100% practices. And, you know, everything sometimes, and with this team that the Warriors have, which is less talented than when they won this, the championship 2 years ago, you have to, he's searching for lineups, combination, because you need talent to win, okay? And so it just, I think everyone's like, oh, we're champions, we need to be here, we need to, no. We have become a victim, Warriors have become a victim of almost their own success. They don't have this, the assets, none of that. And if you look at what's on the court, I think Steve Kerr, he's admitted to his mistakes. How are you going to fault him out of 6 games, out of 82 games, and he needs to go? He's done a great job getting to where he's at with the team that he has, okay? And then that's one way to look at it. You can always look, you can look at it half full, you can look at it half empty. Last thing I want to say to you, Dan, it's not getting down your case, okay? It's just that LeBron decided that he couldn't win without help when he left and went to Miami, because that owner wouldn't give him help. And then the reason why he went back to Cleveland is because he had help. Nobody, because why would he leave Cleveland, right? Even though I think some of his moves were foul, why would he leave Cleveland to go to L.A. to end up in the same situation, carrying a bunch of youngsters doing all the weight? Now, I do think they moves was foul, getting AD, but that's a whole nother topic, right? Nobody goes back to the same situation that they were in, because life is about progressing, not regressing. That's all I want to say, you guys. I hope you have a lovely weekend after you get through hearing us complain all damn day long.
You know, Robin makes a good point when you think about Steve Kerr and sort of, you know, reaching to this point where it's like, wow, I've got nothing left. Because all year long, really, it's been sort of this, oh, when Draymond comes back, oh, Steph's hurt, GP's out, CP3's gone, Jonathan Kuminga's too young. When this all comes together, we're going to be a good basketball team. You know, all these moving pieces. Can we get a starting rotation? Who's going to be the, you know, the starting five? Well, now he has a starting five. He's gone through all of this probing to try and find the right personnel. Well, he found it, because now he's got Pajemski. Whether you love it or hate it, it's been effective with Pajemski at the two. Steph obviously starting. Jonathan Kuminga now in the starting lineup. Draymond's back. And Andrew Wiggins holds down the other forward spot. That's your front line. So he found his starting lineup. And now the rotation, which was a question a year ago, I've got to find the right guys. He searched for it for a while, and now he's got Clay coming off the bench. He's got CP3. It all makes sense. Moses Moody's even getting run now. Trayce Jackson-Davis is you know, the first guy to replace Draymond or to be the center off the bench. He's jumped both Dario Saric as well as Kevon Looney. So everything is there. So now you say to yourself, okay, well, you spent a good portion of the season trying to find the right personnel, the right matchups, right, the right rotation. Now you have it, and now you lose to the Pacers, you lose to the Knicks, and you're still crapping the bed. Why is it happening?
What does
and
that
I
tell
think
you?
It's talent.
Exactly.
It's not it. All those other things now, well, you don't have that crutch because everything's in place. Now you just look at your bench and you're like, where do I turn to now? I just don't have guys that can fill it up and or be young and do the sort of things in order to be competitive with the other teams in the NBA.
So take last year's team. They're starting Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome in certain aspects, and those guys are getting big minutes for you where the fan base is begging for Kuminga and Moody to get some run and other players as well. This year's team, to me, roster construction-wise, is better than last year's team by far. And all that to say, you find yourself in a worse position than you did last year. The West has undoubtedly gotten better around you, and you've, in a way, stayed stagnant. You've made minor improvements. Poole, now CP3. You've gotten Pods, you've gotten Trayce Jackson-Davis, who are young players that you hopefully can sprout
into.
Well,
one could argue that those guys were not in the fold during the offseason. You got CP3,
you're right.
And that was it.
Correct.
Nobody considered Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis as being rotational pieces.
Right, but now you're sitting where you're at now,
yeah.
Right, where you're two games, game and a half above the Rockets and a game and a half, two behind the Lakers for the 9 seed. When I watch this Warriors team play, it's not because they don't have guys you think won't be able to contribute or players you can't point to and say, man, give them a little bit more time. They're going to be something. It's that they're in a window that dictates you have to win now. You have Curry under contract. You extended Kerr. You've extended Draymond Green. But what has happened all year? Like you already said, Paul's been hurt, Curry got hurt, Wiggins has been gone, and Kerr has been trying to find that lineup, but 69 games in, I do think a large portion of the fan base that was once positive of this team can make a run is sitting back saying, hey, we just don't have the starting lineup to compete with other teams. You have nice pieces. You have you have beneficial personnel with Kuminga and Moody, and you have guys that can contribute, but what you don't have is the talent to compete in a deep Western Conference where LeBron James, arguably the greatest player of all time, is the 9 seed, and he's having an amazing season still. Teams like OKC, who was not good 3-4 years ago, is now, what, the 1 seed? Like, or 2 seed now? Like, young teams are coming up, and they're fighting, and they're pushing you further and further down while you have made no major improvements. You made small ones, but you've not made enough to keep up with the rest of your competition, and that's why the Warriors are now the 10th seed. Like, that's exactly why they're the 10th seed.
But couldn't we foresee this coming during the offseason? Didn't everybody say you need to go get another score along with it? It's like, are we surprised that we're here?
No, and, well, I think some fans are because, oh, Curry and Clay and Dre, that's not who they are anymore. They can be good players still, but the offseason, and it's not even last offseason, it's 2 seasons ago when they won a championship, or I guess that's 3 seasons now, but like there was so much success, there's so much hope. Wait till Kuminga's given Moody and Poole. Like, there was this foresight of, man, I can't wait till that happens. Then it falls apart for a variety of reasons. Mainly Draymond and Poole get into it and whatnot. But it does feel like that the Warriors know they have to get better. They just can't make the splash to get better. Like OKC, like Denver, like other teams ahead of them. They have to make the marginal improvements. Pods, Chris Paul for Poole, getting in Trayce Jackson-Davis, getting in Adario Saric, who has fallen off a cliff, hoping Wiggins can cling to life again. Like, they don't have the draft picks or the money to make that splash. So what did we expect coming into the year? I thought, hey, maybe you can be a 6 seed. Some fans thought 4 seed. Watching them play, you're lucky to be the 9 seed.
It looks as though we might be witnessing the beginning of the end as far as the dynasty, if I was to read you correct. Let me ask you one more thing before we get to the break. Is it not by accident that, or is it, when you think about the 9 and the 10 seeds are LeBron James, Steph Curry, is this just, are we witnessing not like, oh my goodness, you know, it's LeBron James and how do they get to the 9 seed and Steph Curry? I mean, it's such a talented and deep Western Conference. Are we not witnessing the official changing of the guard here? It's like out with goodbye LeBron and Steph, it's remarkable memories. It's time to issue in the new. And the new being Chet Holmgren. The new being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The new being Ant-Man out in Minnesota. You know, the new being everybody, you know, with Sacramento. Like, these right. are the teams that now are looking with everything in front of them as we usher out the old being Steph and LeBron James. Is this just sort of, you know, is it almost ceremonial what it is we're witnessing in the 9 and 10 seed in the rest of the Western Conference?
I think so, because the NBA play-in tournament was supposed to be, let's expose these young stars on maybe bad teams that are up and coming to the rest of the world. And now it's become, let's have these young or these older veteran players that maybe are Hall of Famers cling to a playoff spot to the end of the year so they can play a younger team. But you are seeing Curry and Clay and LeBron and Anthony Davis and whatnot kind of, I don't like, we've kind of seen the younger teams just usurp the older guys and just jump up. And you've seen the older teams like the Lakers, who were good last year, the Warriors, who were good last year, get pushed down and down and down, where even a team like Sacramento, who's lighting the beam on most nights, and they're having a fine season, although they're not playing great right now.
Got beat by the Wizards.
Right,
the other night.
They're not playing great right now. Like, I think the NBA would want the NBA play-in tournament to be young teams up and coming, whereas this year and even last year it was older teams, vets who don't want to play half a season, can't play a full season, just fighting to stay in. And now it's, you know, gone from a showcase for young stars to, well, the vets can get in there, the future Hall of Famers can get in, and let's see if they can do some damage. And I do think it is seeing the younger guys step up. It really is that changing of the guard.
All right, we continue here on 95.7 The Game. We wrap up the show. We see some of you on the phone line, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Your final thoughts on the Golden State Warriors before they embark on a really difficult road trip. Is it the beginning of the end, or do you still think that this team has got something left in the tank where they can make a run in the post?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Season this year. We'll be back to discuss and wrap up the show right after this.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Last half hour with Sterling Bennett. It's Dan DeVoe on the text line. Sterling shouting out, just like it was time to move on from Jimmy G and move to Brock Purdy, is it time to move on from everyone? In reference to the Golden State Warriors.
Is that the what, Jimmy Jacket guy? Is that who it is?
No, but we had to work in that Jimmy Jacket, wherever you are, 510.
He
there
was
you go.
Clay Jacket last night. I don't know who that guy is, but he's great.
So, Jimmy G, now with the Los Angeles Rams. Don't
I laughed.
Could do too much into that. But could Jimmy G rear his head? Because you know it's a matter of time before Stafford goes out with an injury. And Jimmy G, do in the San Francisco, could he come back to haunt the 49ers, this time in a Rams uniform?
I told my fiance when we moved down there, Southern California, that when the Niners don't play, we will go see a Rams game, and I'm hoping Jimmy Garoppolo plays. She loves Jimmy G, mainly for his looks, but she loves Jimmy G.
Oh, that's good. I tell you what, by the way, not to be that guy, some cheese balls dropping names, but I'm going to drop a name. I can hook you up with Ram tickets. I just didn't know anybody could use them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So my story is, you probably already heard this. So Kevin Demoff is the president of the team.
Okay.
So I had to do an event there a couple of months back, or more than a couple of months, and I was speaking at this thing, and he was there. It was all like the who's who of LA.
Right.
I was just part of a panel, I should say. There were big time speakers there.
Don't sell yourself short.
No, this is like Westbrook, Embiid was there. It was all these. And so anyways, during the breaks, I would go outside because it was LA. I wanted some fresh air. And
some smog.
People in between. Yeah, exactly. In between the talks, you know, there was food. It was just very much she West Hollywood, right there on Sunset, this beautiful hotel. It was what it embodied. It was such a prototypical LA event. All the pretty people. So I was there and I was outside and I started to this conversation with this guy who was so unassuming. He was wearing jeans. He had glasses. I thought he literally was like with the catering service. I thought he worked there. And so we started talking. We talked in sports and I said, yeah, I'm from San Francisco, man. So it's sort of built in my DNA. The Dodgers suck, hate the Rams. Everything sucks in LA. And I'm like, so what do you do? And he's like, well, I'm the president of the Los Angeles Rams. Kevin Demoff is the most unassuming
guy.
Like, never mind.
I love the Rams.
So anyways, we got into this long discussion. It turns out we had a mutual friend in Hugh Millen, who I used to do a show with. Hugh Millen, who was a former quarterback with the Rams. And I remember Hugh had mentioned his name, and he and I did a show back in Seattle. He's like, oh, yeah, how is Hugh doing? Anyways, we got into this long conversation, stayed friends. And so he offered me tickets to the Rams twice last year, but I wasn't around. I don't live in the area.
What games were they?
It was Arizona, and then it was Pittsburgh there last year?
They may have been. So he gave you the bad games.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But, yeah, you're right.
Still, it's free tickets.
Yeah, so anyways.
The SoFi.
I'll throw you, so I'll just, and plus, I was curious to see where Kevin Demoff, the president, is going to sit you.
Right.
So it would have been sweet. So now they're for you and your fiance.
He's at the very top, just looking down all the peasants watching him, buying $13 beers and $20 hot dogs.
I guess the big question now, is it time, if I'm to read the text line, right, is it time to move off on everybody, meaning move off on, listen, you know what we talk about, in all seriousness, the core.
Yeah.
To me, there is no longer a core. There is just, there is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I don't associate Klay Thompson and even Draymond Green. Last night, I don't know, you said maybe he was dealing with an injury. He looked as though he checked out of that basketball game. He was nowhere near.
Well, he has the back injury that
lingers. He has the back injury, but he just.
Which in itself is concerning. Like, is that going to linger the next 4 years of your contract?
But he's been so good since he's come back.
Yeah.
But last night, and again, everybody played poorly last night, including Steph, despite his 25 points and 11 rebounds. So just a bad performance, especially by Jonathan Kuminga, but go right on down the list. TJD, I think, had a solid performance, but it was not a good performance by anybody last night, especially Draymond Green. But if they moved off of Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, yeah, you can come back. You scoffed at our offer apparently over the offseason, if we were to believe reports, and we put $24, $25 million on the table.
Yeah.
You're getting 20 mil tops.
So you're getting less now.
Yeah, you're between 20 and 24. Maybe I'll give you we offered you 25 when you thought you were a starter. You know, you have to keep in mind that now you're leveraging, if you're Klay Thompson and his agent, you're coming from the leverage of, or you're the position of being a bench player.
Right, but other teams could say, come be a starter for us, and we'll give you 30.
Then, my man.
Then see you later.
Yeah.
Sayonara,
Klay
Thompson.
Do I have to break out the sayonara, Klay Thompson? You know, we're not going there.
Right.
You have got to be cost effective in order for it to make sense for us to keep a bench player, okay? Otherwise, we got to go in another direction. And that's just the reality right now, that it's Steph. It's not a core to me. It's Steph, and then everybody else is up for reassessment.
Okay.
I mean, Wiggins, but the question then becomes, if I was to package all of those guys, CP3, Wiggins, Klay Thompson, I'll even throw, for the sake of conversation and sports talk radio, I'll throw in Draymond Green. What exactly is it that I'm getting back? Are we getting back that bona fide star that Steph so desperately needs?
No. You are getting, you're essentially trading away marginal starters and bench players, and you want a star? It's not going to happen.
Who are all 34? Oh,
exactly. Like, the best bet for Golden State is you get Clay for a little cheaper, you say goodbye to Chris Paul, and you can trade Andrew Wiggins and hopefully get some picks or a handful of players to help strengthen your depth. And then you either sign somebody or Kuminga takes the next step, Pods in year two, and Trayce Jackson-Davis in year two. Maybe Kevon Looney can re-find it again. Like, there really isn't a way out of this, is the troubling sight for Golden State of, like, you and me can talk for the last 3 hours about where do they go? Is there a direction out of where they're currently at? And in that same breath, you'll have Dub Nation, the 626, all of Dub Nation isn't giving up on the season until they're officially done. Okay, that's great, but you have to be realistic in that of how far can this current trajectory take you? And I don't know if that means making, you know, CP3 go and Wiggins go. Like, what does that net you? Does it net you a younger Andrew Wiggins type of player that maybe has his head on straight and doesn't have the off the field, the off the court stuff? Maybe. Who isn't going to miss 20 games because of personal issues, which in and itself are okay. Like, but like, you need to have consistency across the board. Like, I would have loved for them to acquire OG Anunoby. Like, that, even last year, like, that was the guy. I was like, you get him and you plug him in instead of Wiggins, you're getting yourself one of the best wing defenders in basketball. And he's someone who would get back on transition defense. Whereas Wiggins is like, I don't know if I'm playing today.
Is it a foregone conclusion that Chris Paul is out the door? Because I got to tell you, I really enjoy watching him play this year. And the fact that he doesn't turn the ball over, he is. Look, at I know Steph and the Warriors, again, live and die by the three, and it's one of the most beautiful things to watch the guy who's been the best ever to do it, to shoot threes like nobody's business and sidestep and work off the screens and be in perpetual motion. But I got to admit, maybe it's my age that's speaking here. I don't mind the guy that works that pick and roll with Trayce Jackson-Davis to perfection.
Yeah.
Like that.
Do you
that
see
to
his,
me,
his fake pass double move for a score against it may have been the Knicks.
Last night? Oh.
It was.
Yeah.
For as old as Chris Paul is, he still got it sometimes.
But he's just. Every time he comes on the floor, I think that, you know, he really has things under control. And he reduces the turnovers. And that pick and roll with Trayce Jackson-Davis, albeit it's not a flashy three, and it ain't going to make the highlight reel, but it is so effective. And they're not going to be as good a team without him. And I agree with you. I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's out the door. But I don't think we should be all that, you know, just dismissive of what it is that he's meant for this basketball team this year and unlocking Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think you know what unlocked Trayce Jackson-Davis, because Chris Paul was hurt at the time.
Yeah.
It was Klay Thompson has really developed this unusual rapport.
Yeah, good chemistry, yeah.
Because usually Klay Thompson is sort of a lone wolf, right? He lives in his own planet, right? He's
him
a
and
shooter
Rocco,
shoot.
Just like doing his own thing.
Yeah, and he's on the floor and he shoots. He's looking for his shoot, his shot. That's what he does. He's going to came into this world shooting. He's going to go out of the league shooting. And so for him to develop this sort of tandem with Trayce Jackson-Davis, of all people, I really think that's where a lot of this, and obviously, you know, Chris Paul has taken it to new heights because that's what he does. But I think Chris Paul has been a tremendous upside for the Golden State Warriors this year. I know a lot of people don't necessarily concur because they think that he slows things down. He's a little bit more deliberate. It's sort of clunky, I guess, when Steph is out there on the floor with him late in ball games. But he has been more of a positive than a negative, in my estimation.
What did you make of Chris Paul's comments towards Tony Brothers last night?
Oh, I missed that. I thought you were going to go. He got kicked out of the game with 6 seconds to go.
Yeah, so
is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
So what did you have to say?
So apparently, I don't know exactly what the reasoning behind the first tech.
It was Siakam. He got into it with Pascal.
Okay, so then him and Tony Brothers are going back and forth, and apparently later in the game with 6 seconds left, Chris Paul calls him a TikToker. And there is context behind, and I didn't know what it was, but Chris Paul apparently either after the game or a previous day went on his social media, on his IG, and he posted a video of Tony Brothers, of him talking about being a ref on TikTok, and this is what Brothers had to say.
I don't even really care too much for basketball. I'm the judge, the jury, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody.
So that's what Chris Paul said in his post-game press conference. Like,
That was Tony Brothers
on TikTok.
That was Tony Brothers on TikTok, yes. Which he posted to one of. He posted on TikTok.
Yes. So Tony Brothers was on someone's TikTok. They asked him about reffing in the NBA.
Was that spliced or edited together?
I don't think so. And if it is, it's done well. But it's a clip that Chris Paul obviously saw, and when he had the chance. And him and Tony Brothers are going back and forth. He goes, look, you little TikToker. And they're going back and forth. And Tony Brothers is like, get out of here. And so it's so funny to hear a near 40-year-old man call, I'm sure, a 65-year-old man the TikToker. Like, to have grown men, not like in their 20s or like 38-year-old Chris Paul being like, you TikToker. Getting offended by that by Tony Brothers. Like, what is going on?
Hey, TikToker, that's funny. That's good stuff. Man. Hey, you may as well, man. There's 6 seconds left.
It shows you how petty the NBA can be sometimes. Of like, just one word, or I guess two words, TikToker can upset a ref that much. When he in himself says, I don't even like the NBA that much, but I'm the judge, jury, and executioner of the NBA. It's crazy.
Let me just say this while we're on the subject of referees. Have you noticed? Now, they haven't made this public, but it's got to be clear to anybody that's watched the NBA since the All-Star break how referees now are letting them play.
Take last night, for example. The Warriors had like five penalties that weren't, or five fouls that weren't called. And they were just letting them slug it out. And I loved it.
Oh, it is the best thing that has happened to the NBA. You know, it's sort of like Major League Baseball with, you know, the pitch clock. Suddenly games are no longer, you know, 5.5 hours long. It's not like me playing a round of golf and spraying the thing all over the Presidio. Now you can get in and out 2.5, 3 hours. And it's just like that of watching a basketball game where it's just not stop and start. There's actually flow and they're letting them play like that. I always used to maintain this, that referees would always sort of hang on to, well, we'll let them play in the fourth quarter. The refs are going to let them play in the fourth quarter. Why wait to the fourth quarter?
Yeah. I agree.
Let them play basketball right from the outset. Why stop it on a foul that's so inconsequential? And, you know, these guys, they can play through contact.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the referees had too much of a presence in the game. And it was unwatchable from a spectator standpoint.
I think this season of any NBA season has been one of the most tuned out regular seasons of all time. And it's sad because there are players like, or teams like the Nuggets and Jamal Murray and Jokic and Embiid when he's healthy and Anthony Edwards. And there's so much young, vibrant talent in the NBA that you should want to see every single night. But I do think from the All-Star game was atrocious. The weekend itself was terrible for fans. And I used to go home and watch that when I was younger in Little League, 12 to 14 years old. I would go play baseball on Saturday and could not wait to come back to watch the NBA All-Star Weekend. The Taco Bell Skills Challenge, three-point. And now it's like, I could care less what happens. It's not important anymore. When I got to watch Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin dunk and whatnot, like, now it's, you see Scottie Barnes not even trying. It's like, if you're not going to try, why should I watch? And when it comes back to the refs, like, Tim Roy always says this, when the opposing team has a shot clock violation and the other team gets the ball and they're running down the court and they blow a whistle. And Tim Roy's like, why? The opposing team has the ball. Let them move back up. Like, it's almost as if a shot was taken anyways. And so for them to make a change mid-year for the NBA, I think is really smart. And it also gets fans in tune with how the playoffs are going to get called as well. When, take the NFL, for example, they can get, you know, ticky-tack all season long. Come wild card round, they ain't calling nothing. Whereas now for the NBA, if they carry this over into the playoffs, you're going to get, you know, those twin towers of Carl Anthony Towns and Gobert and LeBron and AD being able to impose their will on opposing teams, which if you are a fan, you want to watch the best players in the world utilize their best skills, their length, and their height, and just their bodies. And the NBA did a great job.
Yeah, and I just think from a viewer standpoint, I just want to see the best athletes in professional sports just go up and down the floor without continued stoppage. Like, let me just see these guys do their thing in the open court. Like, it's, I don't pay or I don't sit down to watch a game to hear you, the referee, or to see you, the referee.
Free throws. Who cares?
What's going to happen also, I think, is what's going to be a fallout or a byproduct of this, is that you're going to hopefully see a lot of players just stop whining. Because everybody has become so foul sensitive. Yes. Because it's such a part of the game. It's woven into the fabric of NBA that I got to get to the line or I got to get a call, because calls happen so frequently. Yep. That players are like, where's my call? Where's my – because it's on the forefront of everybody's mind, because it's such a big part of the way the game was constructed. Now that you take that away, I'm also seeing less whining, which is always good. I cannot stand whiners. And you're not seeing guys begging for calls. Even Steph Curry, and as much as I love Steph Curry – and the dude's arguably the greatest to ever do it, but he's somebody that, and let's also clarify that he still doesn't get his just due when it comes to the number of fouls that this guy has not been given the benefit of the doubt of over the years. But still, wanting a call or feigning that he got, you know, trampled on a three, or guys trying to sell calls, all of that. Forget Steph Curry. I should have used him as an example. But just the idea of James Harden and all of that crap.
Jordan Poole.
Jordan. Everybody just feeling as though they got mutilated when they went to the hoop. And all the antics and all of that craziness, I think, is just going to sort of go away, because they're going to realize that, you know what? Nobody's getting those calls. It's not just me. The landscape has been completely been redone. And I think it's just going to make for a better product in terms of the entertainment dollar. And it's about time. It's about damn time. I'm just curious as to why. What happened?
So long?
Because I love documentaries, right? Yeah. I would love to know what happened at the All-Star game. Hmm. Was it Adam Silver that just said, got all the referees and got them in a room? Did everybody get on a Zoom?
Get off TikTok, guys, all right?
Yeah, did everybody get, like, let's all go for a beer? Because obviously there was an edict that came down. Like, this isn't coincidental. So I would like to know exactly what took place, how this conversation started, and was it essentially, you know, the league offices said, this is how we're going to ref. And what is it? What is it that they were told? Like, just stop calling these specific calls or eat your whistle entirely? Like, what? I'm really curious to pull back the layers as to what exactly took place between the league offices and the referees.
And I wonder, like, who spearheads that conversation? Like, is it the TV networks who are like, no one's watching? The fan isn't tuning in. And I'll admit, like, I work every Warrior game. There have been a handful of times I'm sitting here saying, stop fouling. There's 4 minutes left. You're down by 15. Stop fouling. Even last night, they're still fouling late in games. And some of that's to come back and hopefully win. But it feels like this year, more than every other year, that the games, at least in the first half, were taking 3 hours to end. Like, I'm sorry. 7 o'clock on the West Coast, I can go to bed by 10, sure. East Coast people who want to watch Steph play, and Steph is a global superstar, no one is staying up past midnight. They're just not doing it.
Yeah.
And so for the NBA to, and I'm hoping this is why, to see, hey, we're losing traction with young people. We're losing the eyes of viewers because we're calling fouls every 2 seconds. And there are still some games that, you know, you watch LeBron or you watch players like Harden. Like, they are still going to go into the paint and scream for a foul, whatnot. That's the era they grew up in and have played in. But for younger players, like, the hope is it changes the younger player's mindset to just play basketball, play pickup. Like, we're going to call our own fouls and just go at it. Like, Dan, you played more than I have, but just going down to the park and playing pickup, no one's getting called for
right.
fouls. And if you're calling a foul, you know what you're called? Not a nice name. Like, there's a confrontation of, like, seriously, man? This is what we're going to do now? So I'm hoping the NBA can almost recalibrate the young player's mindset of just play basketball.
And you bring up a good point. I'm curious as to whether the powers that be, because it's television that really dictates, that's where the money's at. Maybe they just said, hey, listen, man, we need to change. We need to change now, because doing it in the middle of the season does not seem like something Adam Silver, the league offices, would do. All right, before we wrap up, once again, a reminder, the Golden State Warriors on the road. They pack their bags at Minnesota tomorrow to take on a good T-Wolf team. And then it's off to Florida to take on the Miami Heat, back-to-back games. The next night, they got the Orlando Magic. Not done yet. It's a date with the Charlotte Hornets. If there's one team on that road swing that you said, okay, well, there's your win, it could be against the Hornets.
Maybe.
And or
maybe
the San Antonio Spurs before they come home. They don't come home until April. They're not back until April 2nd. So it is a five-game road swing back home and then back on the road again, and it could go a long ways in terms of determining whether or not they get into this play-in game and or the Houston Rockets catch them for the 10th seed, and or maybe the Golden State Warriors move up and get to 9 and or 8. Well, we'll be here for all of it. From my man Sterling Bennett, this is Dan Avone for Warriors This Week saying, hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you back here next Saturday for another edition of Warriors This Week. So long, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.